lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic, a podcast.
Dude and dudettes.
T-Shab.
Episode 127 of the Motorsport Republica podcast.
We're back.
We are F1 hungry last night. Yeah. Ended up being a little cracking race, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, so we're going to dissect that this evening and have a chat about, I don't know, there's a lot of news today about, you know, Piastri, a bit of a hard luck story, but I think it was an unbelievable drive from Lando Norris.
Correct, so yeah, 100%.
I think he deserved the win, holding onto those tyres for nearly 40 laps and making that one stop work was pretty impressive. There's a few impressive results through the field, like Bortoleto as well, like amazing. So he's a star in the making.
Yep, 100%. That's a bit of a talking point, I think, for this episode, is Bortoleto. So
yes,
It was a good race. Yeah, it was, like, you know, it kind of like started good, and it, you know, a Formula One race, it veered off for a bit, and then you just knew something was going to happen right at the end, and obviously. Yeah. It didn't happen at the same time.
You're right. And the thing is about these, either one or two stops is what makes the racing so good.
Yeah.
Because you got some guys on one, some guys on two. That's why they need to bring these softer compounds to these races. Because having that two-stop race, it just opens a whole new can of worms coming to the end of the race.
Yeah.
And then we saw that last night. It was just, you know, three sort of drivers going into one, and then the McLarens just took off after that. But yeah, and we've got to talk about Paul Leclerc. I mean, Jesus Christ. I just can't get over it. 37 seconds behind the leader, you know, after leading the first stint. I mean, it just does not happen. You don't start on pole and lead the first 30 laps and then finish off the podium.
I know. Like, normally, traditionally in a Formula One race, if you're leading a Formula One race after the first five laps, you're normally bound for the podium.
90% chance of winning.
Maybe more. Yeah. Maybe more today's racing. But to then
especially in Hungary.
Yeah. One corner of the pass.
Yeah.
One corner of the pass. And then, it was like 40 seconds off a lead or whatever it was at the end. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. It was such a wild take out of that race.
Yeah. Well, there's some news today about Leclerc. Ferrari before the race had to raise the ride height on the car, because otherwise it would have happened, like, you know, back in China when both the Ferraris got disqualified. Yeah. They also had to increase the tire pressures. And by the sounds of things on the radio, I don't think Charles was made aware of it to a certain extent, which is just unbelievable.
But predictable.
Well, the car seemed to work with the mediums. And then as soon as he went on the hards, it was just, you know, it was just a shocker. So, he was some strong words on the radio and everyone heard that. You know, it was, I've never seen, they put the subtitles up. I've never seen such a long message from a driver before. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him, man. I really do. I think he's just going to be a wasted talent. Another one that's coming out of this Ferrari driver program.
Bit doomed,
He's just not going to do anything. I mean, does he have to go somewhere? Does he have to go to a Red Bull? Or does he have to go to a Mercedes to do anything? But anyway, we'll get onto that in a sec. But first things first, James has some news. Finally,
bikeheaven.com.au. Go now, T-Shavs. You've been waiting. How long have you been waiting?
I have been waiting 3 months for this. I want my cycling accessories now.
Now. Bikeheaven.com.au. Check them out. So they're the newest big player in the bicycle game in Australia. So it's got a big online store, and they've got all your big brands like SRAM, Shimano, like Santini jerseys. They got like SIS Nutrition.
Jeez. Shimano?
Yeah, I said Shimano. They got crankset builders, tire finders. Bro, no one's got tire finders in the bicycle industry. Bike Heaven does.
That's good. And Situated, obviously, it's a...
Online,
but partnered obviously with Bike Heaven, one big corporation. Motor Heaven, sorry. So one big corporation down at Moorabbin. So great spot to be, because you've got all those, you know, cyclists down there as well. So
yeah, and it's all for online as well. Like, it's one big online store. So
free delivery,
Over $150.
Oh, again,
I know, pretty good. So amazing. So check them out. They got all the big brands there. Bikeheaven.com.au. It's literally just launching as this comes out. So check them out. They've got everything that you will need for all your bicycle stuff. And bicycle does translate a lot over with motorbike stuff. So check out motorheaven.com.au and our friends down there as well. The Heaven Group people are really, really good people. And support Aussie business.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about supporting the Aussie businesses.
Small Aussie business as well. I mean, they're not, you're not paying any more, and you're supporting a, you know,
you're paying less.
Well, you're paying less. Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And you're supporting a small business. I mean, what more do you want?
Exactly.
So, guys, love the love on obviously YouTube. Subscribe, like, please. And also the love on Instagram has been great. And if you're listening from Spotify, please give us a rating. Hopefully 5 out of 5. That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Straight into results. So Lando Norris winning by 0.7 of a second over our country boy, Oscar Piastri in second. George Russell third. Charles Leclerc fourth. Fernando Alonso fifth. Gabriel Bortoleto, 6th. Lance Stroll, your boy, 7th. Liam Lawson, quietly, 8th.
Yeah.
Verstappen, 9th. And then Kimi Antonelli, 10th. You know, McLaren lapping over half the field. So, again, it would seem pretty close to the first stint and then just went on there. But it shows again, yeah. You know, that dirty air. As soon as you get out of the dirty air, you saw Lando in front with, you know, 15 lap old tires over Oscar. He just couldn't get past. Yeah. You know, you just need an 0.8 of a second buffer on that track to get past. So, yeah, it was.
That's the thing with Formula One at the moment, though, bro. Like, it was all coming to a head, and we knew that. We just spoke briefly. We haven't talked about the race at all. We spoke briefly just before, and like we knew that. Okay, it was going to come to a head in the last, so it's like 6 laps. But I knew the whole time there was no chance Piastri was getting past. There just wasn't a chance. Hungary just doesn't invite to any overtaking except for that straight.
Yeah, exactly. It's only and got one passing opportunity. You know what, though? In saying that, his pass on Leclerc was one of the best of the season.
It was good, yeah.
From, you know, I mean, I know Leclerc had his issues, but coming from the outside, that late braking move, when he needed to get it done straight away...
Yeah.
Was phenomenal, but you are right. The writing was on the wall. As soon as he had, you know, he had 6 seconds with probably 10 laps to go, and I thought, yeah, he'll get up behind him, but you just can't get past it.
That's
that point.
The thing. So, you know, you can get up behind them real quick, even if you are that much faster. But then getting past on a track where it just doesn't have a long straight where DRS really can't get into effect, like it's just you know, the writing's on the wall. You know what's going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and getting past Lando Norris as obviously a world-class driver is a difficult task in itself.
Well, he tried his best. That move with 2 laps to go, slamming the brakes on. It was, you know, there was nothing in that.
Touch and go.
He missed him by about 10 centimeters, I reckon. So he went for it. Everyone thought he should have probably waited one more lap. But if you got the opportunity, you had to go for it.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
For me, it was a bit of a banzai move. But, you know, in saying that, I think he had to try. So it was an interesting one. The one-stop strategy didn't seem to be the prime strategy, and it probably still wasn't for the majority of the field, but it worked for Lando as soon as he got out in front. And as I said at the start, kudos to him. He had an unbelievable race. He, you know, just kept the pace up on the worn tyres at the start of the race, and then he put the new tyres on, just, you know, pass Russell quickly, pass Leclerc quickly, and then bang, gone, you know? Yeah. So for me, it was probably the best drive I've seen him do.
Yeah, wow.
And to hang on to those tyres at the end was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because in saying that, yes, very, very, very short straight. DRS just doesn't have a huge effect there, but there was a headwind down the straight, and if you make one little mistake out of that last corner, you're gone, I think. So for me, even Oscar came out and said after the race, he goes, he was just waiting for Lando to make a mistake out of the last corner. So as soon as you lose the rear end, you lose the momentum there, you're at your pass. So,
but yeah, like you're right. It's credit where it's due for Lando. Like I really do think he deserved that win.
Yeah.
Like it was just to do what he did on that one-stop strategy. And it was, you know, exciting as well. It was exciting to see how it was going to go. But, you know, you can only race to the conditions. So if there's only one overtaking corner or straight, you know, that's what you got to race to. Everyone's in the same boat.
Exactly. Everyone's on the same track, same conditions.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, they're such older Tigers. So it's tyres. So credit where credit's due. And for me, he's, you know, back to 9 points. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's just, it's going to go down to the wire. They're going to come together at one point this year.
Yeah.
We're going to be counting down the days.
Is there a track that will promote that, them coming together?
I think you asked me this last week.
Did I?
You did, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think going into maybe, you know, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? It's the last 10 races of the season is going to come down to. There's some weird and wonderful tracks in that as well. So
a track like Sepang would be good for them. They would come together at like a Sepang wide. It's got flowing. It's tight. It's got two big straights. It'd be perfect for like a last lap battle.
Yeah, they need to go back to Malaysia, I reckon.
I know. Wouldn't it be good?
That is one of the best tracks in the world. Didn't feature in the top 5 tracks, but It's a bloody good track.
I know, right? It's a bloody good track.
Yeah. And you're right.
So actually, if we did a list on the most underrated tracks, I'd almost put that as top three.
Yeah.
It is a great track for Formula One. I don't know why they don't go there anymore. And for bikes, it's incredible as well.
Yeah, we had that conversation with me a few weeks ago, and it was about what works for MotoGP and F1. And we said Silverstone. Yeah. But yeah, Sepang would have to be up there as well,
true.
Wouldn't it?
True. I wonder what for Formula One going to Sepang, how big the crowds would be there. Like, I wonder how much Formula One's taken off, you know, in Southeast Asia.
I'd be huge. I think the problem is, I think the it must be the government just can't come up with enough coin to do it, or they don't want to spend the money to do it, because that's the only thing I can think of.
What Asian tracks do they go to? Japan?
Yeah, you got Japan, Singapore, China.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And then they're going to Thailand, aren't they? Is that still happening?
Well, there's talk of a street circuit around Bangkok. Yeah, 2028.
I was about to say Buriam. I was about to say street circuit in Buriam. Imagine.
That'd be cool.
There's a big long straight for it.
I don't think that town could handle F1. You know what's in saying that though? The crowd in Thailand was fucking huge.
It was good.
There was 200,000 people or something through
the
gates.
Are you serious?
Yes. It was one of the most attended Grand Prix of the year.
It was. You know what? It was so big though. It didn't feel packed, but no. I guess the stands on the back straight were just massive and just full of people.
And over three days, you know, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but yeah, I think it was like one of the best attended Asian Grand Prix this year, definitely. So
yeah, it's like Street Circuit and Buriam, promotion for that. Get those little workers going.
So going back to the race, it was super interesting with, you know, you had Verstappen not there.
Mm.
Hamilton was, we'll touch on him shortly, but you know, he wasn't there. And then you had these, you know, these younger kids up the top. I mean, the Bortolettos and Stroll, and then obviously the old Tiger in Fernando Alonso. Obviously that Aston Martin just works better with those higher downforce tracks, because they qualified 19th and 20th in Spa, and then they're in the top six or top five.
Yeah, like he was up, definitely up there Alonso, the whole race. So many seconds obviously behind the McLarens, but it's almost just he's fighting for the best of the rest.
Well, it was interesting with Alonso, because he slowed down on purpose at the start of the race and had about a 12 or 13 second gap.
Mm.
So it came out today that he actually did that. So if anyone tried to pit behind him, they'd just be stuck in traffic.
Mm.
And then when they started pitting behind him, he had 12 seconds in front of it. So he went faster again. He was fast. He was actually lapping faster than the leaders at one point.
Yeah, he was like a third of the way through
the
race.
So everyone thought, he's going out the back, but he actually had a bit of pace up his sleeve. And he was doing, he's just so calculated, isn't he? So
that's, you know, 25 years of experience or whatever it is.
He's 44 years old.
I know.
He's 44 years old and he's racing next year.
I know, it's wild.
It's just wild. Like,
that's good seeing him on new regs though.
It'd be cool to see. Exciting. I mean,
did he race V10s? Was that V10s?
Yeah, V10s, 03, 02 and 03. And then 04 was V10s. And then they went to V8s later. So he's gone through the whole, he just hasn't raced V12s. That was it. So,
Yeah,
so he's gone from 10 to 8s to V6 hybrids. I mean, it's just, he'll go down as an amazing person for the sport. But again, two world championships, probably not enough, you know?
Yeah, it was close. And was it 2012?
Yeah, 2012, you're right. Yeah, he did everything, but Vettel was just too strong in the end. I think he won the last seven races of the year that year or something like along the lines of that.
But he's done everything to do with four wheels just about. Like,
he's gone, yeah. He's gone, raced Le Mans, he's won that.
Yeah.
He went and raced Indy. He was leading Indy and the McLaren broke down so famously. So, you know, he's some of those Indy drivers go into their 50s as well. So he'll have that post-career as well. But
he loves it.
Depends if you want to do it.
I know. It's crazy.
Like Indianapolis 500 is up there with the most dangerous things you can do on four wheels.
He just must be just addicted to that. He must be absolutely addicted to thrill or adrenaline.
You just hope, like Peter Brock, for instance, you know, famously, you know, he's raced around 350 k's an hour around different places, and then he dies in a little rally in Perth. I mean, it's just the same as like these famous people, like Nicky Hayden cycling accident. I mean, it's like
Norik Abe got hit by a tram in Japan. Like, just it's just wild, you're
crazy. Yeah, they just don't. Some of these guys just don't die normal old deaths. It's just something they're doing. Steve Irwin got stung by a bloody stingray. I mean, just unbelievable.
T-Shabs, mate, we all know that you're Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Motor Heaven in Moorabbin. Okay, they are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices, and if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Hey, so you get all the best gear, and then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you.
No.
You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to
He's
to
always help me calling out. You.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, no, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Hopefully Alonso can stay around then.
Yeah,
but he's had an amazing career. When he was racing Le Mans, you might know this, was he like in his team by far the fastest driver? Or is it the fastest driver still the endurance guys?
No, they're still... He was fast. And fast off the bat. You got to remember these endurance guys have been in the cars for years and years. And he comes in his first year and he's fast, which is incredible. But I'm not going to say he wasn't like... Remember we watched it this year and the Porsche driver, Tandy. In Porsche, and he was so much faster than his other drivers.
Yeah, I remember you were saying.
It wasn't like that. It was he was pretty even. But he came in the era where it was Toyota had three cars, and that was it. So he had to just win. And he did. He did it twice, I'm pretty sure, as well. So
yeah, he would go back to endurance racing once he retires.
They're nothing safe, but they are safe. Like, they are got full coverage. You know, they've got the full cockpit around them. Like, safety-wise, they're probably up there. Very fast. Not as fast as Formula 1, but very close in some tracks.
Underrated motorsport, if we did a list.
Oh, dude, Mercedes are in there next year. LMP1, or whatever you call it now. Yeah. Hypercar. Aston Martin with the Valkyrie, obviously, would be better. Like, Ford's going to be in there as well. Like, it's growing.
I just don't understand what they get back out of that. Is it technology for the production cars?
Yeah, it could be. And I think that's why a lot of them are in there.
Yeah, it would just have to be. Like, I can't see any other reason why. Because, okay, Le Mans 24 Hours is such a big event, and we know that. But, like, I couldn't tell you what else they do. Spa?
Yeah, Spa. They got Spa 8 Hour. They got the Bahrain
Coda?
8 Hour.
Did they do Coda?
Yep.
Yeah.
Japan 8 Hours of Fuji. I think it's going to be, as I said, I think I said this in the pod a few months ago. I reckon in like 5 years' time, it will be up there with massive, massive crowds. Like, I would love to go to one of those events. Love it. And I think 8 hours is great as well.
8 hours. Oh, look at the Suzuka. 8 hour on the weekend. I think it's a great time.
Yeah. So I think that if they came to Australia, and I don't think Bathurst would work for those cars, but maybe the Bend, those sort of tracks, even Sydney Motorsport Park, if we could hold enough people.
Well, Bathurst, you just can't pass besides the last sector and the first sector, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they already had their 12-hour in there with their GT cars anyway. So.
And that's a great event as well.
Great event, yeah.
Bigger than you think.
Very much so.
Bortoleto, bro. How far can he go?
Well, James, credit where credit's due. T-Shav called this at the start of the year. He's going to be the pick of the rookies, and he has been.
Yep.
And he looked nowhere at the start. We did talk about this last week, but... Dude, he's just, I mean, qualifying 7th, finishing 6th. I mean, you can't ask for much more.
No, you can't.
Like, that's the looking back at the Sauber of Leclerc.
As Charles famous. Leclerc effect. And actually, the pinnacle of his career for Charles is actually that Sauber year.
It is. It fucking is. It is.
Oh, that's when he was actually happiest in Formula 1.
Yeah. But for me, it's, you know, I mean, obviously that Sauber's got, it's a good car under him, but... You know, he's consistently beating Hülkenberg now after Hülkenberg's heroics in Silverstone.
Which... It's still not a sixth-place car, though.
Correct.
It's not a sixth-place car.
Yeah, I mean, he's beating Verstappen.
Yeah.
Hamilton's.
So he's above par.
Yeah, both the V-carbs as well. Yeah. I mean, Lawson finished in front of Verstappen.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, yeah, I was very much impressed and really looking forward to see what... And he'll be in line... For the Ferrari seat when Hamilton goes.
Oh, no. No, don't want that. Go anywhere else.
Yeah. It's like they're like the new... No, not even Honda, because Honda haven't really shown much. But like the problem is Ferrari, they're ultimate fraud watch, aren't they? Because
ultimate fraud watch.
They're showing pole pace and then they just... Yeah. I mean, you know, there's enough you can say about it. There really isn't.
Yeah, they're the ultimate. Like, and you've got Lewis Hamilton on there, who's one of the greats. And just, like, he I think he said to himself, he was like, I'm useless.
Yep. He came out in the media and said, I'm useless, find another driver. I mean, it's so negative. It really is. And coming from a 7-time world champion, the guy's at 100 wins, 100 poles. You don't just lose skill overnight. It's just all mental, isn't it? I mean, yes, I think Leclerc out-qualified the car, putting on pole, amazing lap. Yeah. But for me, I mean, he's out in Q2 again. I mean, it's a disaster. It really is. And for me,
you called that
is, oh, I know
again
is next year. Is it worth it for Ferrari? I mean, I know it's been still a global success with their obviously their shares and their merchandise have gone through the roof. But for me, I mean, you can't just be back. You can't be 14th, 15th. Granted, he got stuck behind drivers of that track, but man, you got to. That's one of the most important qualifying sessions of the year, and you stuff it up.
Can Lewis Hamilton turn it around?
It's a great question. It might be next post question for that, but I don't know. I think he might show a little bit of brilliance like he did last weekend on the, you know, on the wets at the start of the race. He'll show glimpses, but for me, he's just, you know, I might get ridiculed for this. He's just lost that extra, you know, couple of tenths that he had. So
yeah, I was going to say, is it Ferrari to turn around, which it is, but then if you still got Charles putting on pole, like there's the proof.
And he's saying it in the media. Yeah. He's saying, get another driver. I'm shit. You know, it's me. So
I like this question. We've had fans message it into us and we've done a few, but if you were the team principal of Ferrari and you just had an open checkbook, get anyone who you want, who are you putting in there? Realistically.
Well, I mean, Verstappen's probably not realistic now, but you know, I think you got a good enough drive with Leclerc. I think you need to put a Bortoletto in there. You need some youth.
You need
a fresh start. You really do. It's not about paying a guy X amount of dollars. I think you have to grow someone in that team because they just need something else, another spark. So.
And I think with the beautiful thing about motorsport and racing is the best teams are normally a driver that's in his prime of his career and then that younger guy coming in.
Yes, I agree. And the other thing is these modern cars, I just don't think suit Hamilton's style. And I think if you have a Bortoletto or you have, you know, Ollie Bearman coming in, all they know is these cars.
Right.
So going into the new regulations, yes, it's going to be a new car, but essentially a lot of the DNA for this new style of vehicle is going to be the same. So for me, he's done. He's done. So I just don't see him on the grid next year at all.
Mentally exhausted just about Lewis
Hamilton. You can't have that like negativity in your team as well.
But like, it's all of Ferrari, bro. Like how's Charles you're talking about at the start of the pod, just how negative everyone is during the race.
It is.
And it's after the race.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
I can excuse some chatter in during the race because the adrenaline's pumping.
Of course.
But for me, sitting in the fucking media center and saying, I'm shit, I shouldn't be here, get another driver, that is the worst possible thing you can say.
Yeah, it is.
You've cooled down and you're speaking to someone face to face in the media across the whole world and you're saying to me, you know, what did you say? What did he say in the...
He's useless.
Useless.
Yeah.
Useless of all things. I mean, goodness. Can't believe it.
I know. So it's, I don't know. There's something really wrong with Ferrari's DNA. Because you're right. It's like the
Essendon
football club. It is. It's the red, obviously. But there's something wrong with Ferrari's DNA. And yes, okay, you can be hot-headed during the race and you can say some outlandish stuff. But it just consistently seems to be more Charles and Lewis Hamilton over every other team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suppose they probably would air that laundry.
Fair.
But you're right. Fair. And I'm guessing it would be 100%. I mean, I think there's some teams out there. But you know what? Every team this weekend showed glimpses. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Ferrari putting on pole. Mercedes looked better. Russell looked really good in the race to compare what he was in practice. I mean, you had Aston Martin's up there. The Williams looked okay. They were probably the worst of the bunch with Haas. But
Lawson beat Verstappen.
Correct. It was the closest top 10 qualifying session in history.
Mm.
So, I mean, they're all very close. And it's that extra 10th or two you need to find. And that's where your Hamilton's just not there. So,
yeah,
going back to that, sorry, yeah.
Clearly. Red Bull, bro, what's going on with Max?
Yeah,
where you get 7th?
I think Yeah, he was ninth.
Ninth.
He pitted early, got stuck in the traffic. Strategy.
It was a shit
Sonoda, strategy. Sonoda, for me, I think he pitted early and just got, again, caught in the traffic. They were in no man's land.
Yeah.
They really
he
were.
He had a crack at getting through Max, though.
He did, yeah. I mean,
he was overtaking.
It was funny. Him and Lewis, you know, they had to reviewed after the race, their incident.
Mm.
You know, Hamilton, there was no touch. Hamilton went off the track, and then Hamilton refused to go to the FIA after the race. He was on his jet already when they had the meeting, so they just said, oh, don't worry about it. There's no penalty.
That's
funny. I mean, that shows you everything, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're fighting over 10th place. I mean, who cares?
But you know what? Max's moves are pretty good. Like, we say that there was only one passing point. He was passing into that chicane in the back. Yeah. So, that just shows still how much skill this guy has, because he's kind of the only one doing it.
Well, I think the Max and... this is the thing, and we talk about this in motorsport. He's earned the respect from the drivers, and he knows that they know he's going to do the move.
Yeah.
You know, and and it's happened over the years. Like, I mean, Rossi was probably like that going back in the day. Like, if he was behind you, they half expected him to make the move. So they sort of like gave themselves a width.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, and it happens with Max as well. I mean, it happens with Lewis to a certain extent back in the good old days. They always made the harder passes, and the other driver just hopped out of the way. Like, correct. We saw Hülkenberg just went off the road.
Yeah.
Didn't even compete. He was like, oh, we'll just go through the chicane. You know?
It's so true. And then on the flip side, it's the same thing. If they try and pass Max, they know he's just going to turn in on it and cut their nose.
So they're more cautious.
Yeah.
And they lock wheels.
It's a mental thing.
It is. And he's earned that. Not respect. Respect's the wrong word, but he's earned that.
No, it's respect. Yeah. 100% he's earned respect.
Yeah.
But it works in all types of motorsports. As you said, Valentin Rossi is the same. Marquez is definitely the same. Yeah. Like, it's just how it is. But it's just, you know, younger kids will come through and then they will have a lack of respect for that.
Yeah, and
you see that with even like Formula One or even MotoGP with Mark at the same token. So there is a changing of the guard where like maybe a Stroll or Hülkenberg will be frightened out of the way, but someone a lot younger who just doesn't give a fuck, I'm new, I'm going to be the new hotshot. They're not going to do it like how Max didn't do it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because they're forging their own path. And
100%.
And you have to have a certain amount of confidence / arrogance, you know, coming through the sport. So in all motorsport.
Yeah. And then there's just levels to it. Mm. And Max is on the highest. Any world champion is on the highest level.
But yeah, it's a track that always throws up a strange result. I mean, Jenson Button won there his first win back in 06 in the Honda.
Yeah.
Alonso won there in 03, his first win in the Renault. There's been some wacky results over the journey. But yeah, obviously it was pretty dominated by McLaren in the end.
Yeah, it was. And like with McLaren, they're just, it's just obviously a two-man show. And is it realistically just going to be 1-2s for the rest of the year? Like, is there anyone else that's just going to throw out any funny, wacky results?
The thing is, you got to remember as well, the Constructors' Championship's done.
Yeah.
Like, I think they'll have to sit out the next 9 Grand Prix or 8 Grand Prix and they'll still be leading the Constructors. So for me, it's that's done. So... and the other thing is such a big rule change next year. All the teams are going to go, we're working on next year's cars. There's no sense in working on this year's car.
Mm.
So, yeah, for me, it's done. McLaren are letting them each other fight. Everyone goes, oh, why are they letting them fight so hard? Who cares if they crash into each other? They both DNF. Yeah, it's terrible, but the championship's still won.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's right.
Unless they crash into the 8 rounds in a row.
But it's a good point you make. Like, yeah, I like how they're just letting them fight. When the commentators brought up, they could have, if it was a different team, Lando would have been trying to hold up Charles and then just let Oscar go at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they said, yeah, we'll pit him 2 laps early and then give him clean air and then they can both have a crack.
Strategically, McLaren's been average in the last 2 years with this, and they've really, I mean, maybe they're between a bit of a rock and a hard place, but
for sure.
For me, this race, and look, compared to a year ago,
you know,
a year ago when Oscar and, you know, you wouldn't let him back pass and what a debacle that was in Hungary last year, this year, they nailed it. They gave Oscar the option to pit to do one stop. He said no. They said that there was a Hail Mary. That really was a Hail Mary for Norris to make those tyres last that long. And he made it work. So kudos to him.
Yeah, definitely. So,
and we could stand here as Aussies and be like, oh, he got robbed and... you know, I think even after the race, Piastri got sort of like, oh, geez, that was a bit harsh. But at the end of the day, my first feeling when I'm watching that race was, fair enough, you know, touche. So,
bro, he made you can't fake doing a one-stop strategy. Like, he just made it work.
Did you see Lando's new girlfriend?
Yeah, she's been around for a few rounds, hasn't she?
She's like a female version of Lando Norris.
Yeah, you know what?
They look too similar. It's like brother and sister.
That's a thing, though. I'm telling you, that's a thing.
Yeah, goodness gracious. I mean, they've got this look about... All the girls have... I'm sure our WAG listeners enjoy this chatter, but... For me, it's like, God, they just love these like little tiny petite model looking nice eyes. I mean,
big eyes.
Big eyes. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
big eyes.
They've got big eyes. Nothing behind them, but yeah.
Yeah.
Big eyes.
So yeah, I thought that was, I was looking forward to talking to you about that.
How do you as a WAG even like get in with one of those guys?
I don't know.
You must have to be so hot to slide into their DMs and then for them to see you. Or maybe they make the first move.
Yeah. I mean, they've probably got millions. She's probably got millions of followers as well. And then there'd be some sort of, you know, like when we've got the blue tick on our Instagram. So if someone messages us, we get the message. But a lot of those famous people, they just never get a message. Like you can send it, but they just never get it. It just goes into requests, I suppose, and it's never there.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you actually filter that out? But it'll be something. They're also on that app called Ray, I think it's called.
Oh, that expensive celebrity dating app.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Hajar was on there on the...
Wasn't one of your friends on that?
Yeah, yeah. I think she was. But yeah, I didn't think she had too much luck, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it'd be like a baller.
Yeah, 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 yeah. 100%. That's anyway, funny. There's other podcasts for talking about that.
That's interesting. Yeah, what else you got?
That's about it. It's about a bit on F1. If you want to, let's chat about Suzuka 8-Hour.
Yeah.
First two-man team to win it in 17 years.
Yeah.
They should make it, James, mandatory two-man team from now on. It was 40-degree heat.
Yeah.
They won the race by 35 seconds. Like, why do you need three riders?
I don't know. It's just always been like that. Yeah. But Honda throw the kitchen sink at this race. Mm. This is their race. They have like a full... prototype CBR 1000, like it ain't a sports bike.
Yes,
they throw the kitchen sink at it, and the other fella that won, Takahashi, whatever his name is, would have done a trillion laps around Suzuka. Like, yeah, you know what it is. And obviously Zarco was amazing. So bro, the Suzuka 8-Hour is such a good event, such an underrated event, and probably getting bigger and bigger each year. Obviously Jack Miller did well, got second on the R1 on obviously a three-man team. So
yeah
it's great, and it finishes in the dark, which is cool.
Yeah, look, I flicked it on the last 10 minutes because we're getting messages last night saying, oh, it's coming down to the wire. I turned it on. I was like,
won by like fucking three business days.
I was like, come on. Bloody Will was telling me bloody it was going down to the wire. I was like, hang on, I just flicked it on. It was 35 second lead. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So, anyway, but I was surprised by that. I thought to myself, couldn't they have started probably a little bit earlier than finished like in twilight? The Japanese, mate, they're bloody conservative.
Looks cool at the end where they got all the lights in the grandstand.
It does look cool. Yeah, it does.
So I think that's all for
it. You know, I just would hate to come down to like a really good battle and you can't see it properly, but that's my only thing. But
that's a good point.
Karen thoughts.
How scary would it be trying to go full blast around the Suzuka at night?
Insane.
That's pretty wild.
Insane. And we talk about Honda bringing a full prototype bike, et cetera, et cetera. But there's so many factors that go into that event. You can't crash, you know, tire wear. Also, like, just comfortability on the bike. I mean, if it's an uncomfortable bike and you're spending 4 hours on it, each rider, for Zarco and Takahashi Kawa, that would also be a massive problem. I mean, brake stability, everything that goes. It's not a 40-minute MotoGP race. It is like...
You're putting in stink.
It's 16 MotoGP races, pretty much, you know? Yeah. Like, it is crazy, a crazy event on a bike.
And just, like, full heat in leathers.
40-degree heat.
Yeah, going...
Stifling.
Stifling.
I was in Japan and it was 26 hot. I'm telling you. Like, humid as fuck, Humid as fuck. And in leather and two-man team and... the ice baths and shit.
Well, they're all obviously in the ice baths
during
it, which has always been a thing. But yeah, it's a hard event. And it's a physical track. Like, not much rest
at Suzuka. No. And you're going down that front straight and you're finally having some reprieve. And then you got like one of the scariest corners anywhere coming up. I mean, it's just a freaky corner. You saw Miller go off.
Bro, his bike was 25 feet in the air or something. I've never seen anything like
that. Was that written off, that bike? Was that a whole new bike after that? Or they rebuild it?
Bro, I don't know.
Have they got spare bikes?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you crash, you can come in for a spare bike?
Not during a race.
Oh, okay.
Not during a race.
You have to get the bike back.
Yeah, so someone crashed and they brought the bike back and then they were repairing it for hours and hours and like an hour. Like, I don't even know what's the point.
I kind of like that there's no spare bike though. That's fair.
So fair.
Because otherwise they're just swapping bikes all the time because, you know, and then the endurance will come out of it, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. That's right. But the Jack Miller crash, man, was unbelievable. And it was a great perspective because he's standing.
Yes.
He's standing, like, sliding back up, and he's on his feet, and his bike is 25 feet in the air. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I think it's just buddy kaboomed off that air fence, didn't it? It was like a trampoline.
Fucking hell. I've never seen good footage. Like, it's great photo. It's one of the best photos I've seen.
We were really excited last week, the footage of this tsunami that was coming. But it never eventuated, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we get to see Jack Miller's you know, bike 25 feet in the air.
The tsunami's on Fraud Watch.
It is. Jeez, I was excited for that.
I know.
Documentary's Nat Geo.
I saw the message. I saw like a... Age comes in at work and he goes, oh, there's a massive tsunami coming, 8.7 magnitude. And my phone literally at that time goes ping and it's like, T-Shabs, get ready, tsunami's coming. Legit at the same time. I was like, fuck, we're all gone now.
Yeah,
it was on YouTube Live. I was watching like security cam.
I was
watching security cams waiting for the water to happen.
I know, it was such a bloody fizz up, wasn't it? Jesus Christ. Anyway,
make tsunamis great. Make tsunamis great again.
But yeah, back to Suzuka 8 hour. What a race. And I love the fact there's MotoGP guys.
Bro, it is the best. They had Vandermark in there, yeah. Loris Baz on the darts. Vandermark on the darts, slick back hair. You know, those Japanese guys who are amazing around Suzuka, obviously. Yeah, World Superbikes, MotoGP. I'd love for more riders to come in. And I think it's just awesome. I think it's an awesome thing for the sport. And, you know, the greats have done it. Like Valentino Rossi teamed up with Colin Edwards back in the day. Like,
so cool.
Just so cool. It's so cool.
On a Yamaha?
Honda. When they were on a Honda.
Yeah, back in the day.
So Colin Edwards was on a Castrol Honda. Yeah. And Rossi would have been on either the NS, I think probably the NSR 2500 or maybe the first year, the four strokes. But yeah, I would love to see more of it. I'd love to see, like, I know Bagnaia said he wanted to do it with Bulliger, which would be sick on a Ducati.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great to see Mark do it with his brother or something, teaming up. Like, it would just be... I don't know, it'd be really... Like, these guys don't have to do it, though. And it was pushed more back in the early 2000s. And that's half the reason why Valentino left Honda. Because you had to do all these commitments. And it's like, for Honda, you got to do these things. Like, it's a big pride thing. It's a massive pride thing for Honda, as I said. So, and that pushed him away, which obviously they learned their lesson there big time. But, you know, I think it's great. More riders should do it. But... You know, it's their off season. They probably just want to fucking relax and sit on a boat. And
how valuable is Zarco though for them?
I mean, what a great pickup John Zarco was. And we were like, you know, why would he go? And then he got paid over €1 million, so he's getting paid bank. So you're like, all right, fair enough. He's setting up his future, and then he's developing this bike. He's the fastest on this bike.
Won a race.
Got second the next round.
Just like, so good.
Just. Amazing.
And he won the Suzuka 8 hour.
Yeah.
Kudos.
I think he won it 2 years in a row. He won it last year as well. For Honda.
Chapeau, Zarco. Chapeau. Yeah.
So just, you know, I wouldn't say turning your career around, but really making the most of your career and what you've got, and then going to Honda. And Zarco's been notorious for, you know, he went to KTM and there's a fucking brothel or shit show, and he left halfway through the season, goes to Ducati and, you know, has a really good few years, but then, like, I really feel like Honda's kind of made his career in a weird way. Don't you reckon?
Oh, I think so. It's like, it's the cream on top.
Yeah.
You know?
He's done amazing for him. Yeah. And he's kind of been the only one that's been like stable, not crashing, not injured, just bringing it home, bringing points in, like winning races.
Consistent,
exactly. So it's just, yeah, like I think it's a great story, Zarco, from, you know, a guy that won 2 Moto2 world titles, had an amazing opening first race on a Tech 3 Honda where he was leading it by like 4 seconds and threw it down the road in guitar.
So turn
like,
one.
Yeah, turn one, turn two, one of those ones. It was, it's just, I don't know, he's had a really good career for what it's been, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying, Chicho? Hot takes?
Yep, agreed.
All right, thank you everyone sending them in. We had a fucking shit ton again this week. It's amazing. We say it every week, weirdly enough, but it just always surprises me because I'm like, who would actually message us?
We appreciate it.
We really do.
We love the love.
We love the love. We're a sucker for love. At @JoeM1_, George Russell gets rewarded the most for doing nothing during races.
Oh, it's harsh. I think the car... the car struggled all weekend, and for him to put it on, you know, he was up there top three in qualifying. I think he ended up slotting in fourth, wasn't it? So for me, no, he's performing really well. Deserves that seat for next year, 100%.
He does.
Antonelli's almost on fraud watch. My goodness.
Yeah, he had a podium only a few rounds ago, though.
Nah, he's another one that's head fucked. He's been talking to Lewis too much.
Mm.
They're
little buddies, because he loved Lewis Hamilton, didn't he? Yeah, up to him.
They were like, you saw they have a bus, obviously a parade at the start of the race, and those two are in the corner talking to each other, and everyone else is mingling. So, you know, I think he's got a bit of rubbing off on him, unfortunately.
So if you're a brand new Formula One driver, T-Shav, you suited up, you're in that bus, you can talk to anyone you want to be your mentor.
Fernando Alonso.
You're gravitating to Alonso?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Max is not going to talk to you. He doesn't give two fucks about anyone else. Charles is just going to complain about Ferrari the whole time. I wonder who else you got? Who else is a world champion?
So obviously not Lewis. Not Lewis. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Fernando Alonso is the answer, isn't it?
He's the baby daddy, you know.
Yeah, he's the fucking daddy, mate.
He's the daddy.
He's the daddy. Our boy, it's called Papa, reigning number one team.
Happy birthday to him during the week as well.
Oh, yeah? How old is he turning? 21?
Oh, mate, who knows? He could be 17, he could be 55.
We don't even know what this guy looks like.
No, Papa's going to be listening in, and he's going to reveal his identity one day.
Yeah, can you DM us, just send us a selfie?
Yeah, we'll give it, or something.
Zarco has won all the important races for him in Honda. He's about to get a bag, rightfully so. I don't know what bag he's talking about, but Zarco's got a nose for the right bags.
He does.
But he's already got the bag, and you know what? Well, he might even get more. So it's
just such a good person to have in your team.
Yeah.
No longer he's developing the bike, as you touched on, and you know he's winning races. His podium. He's winning Suzuka 8 hours. I mean, what more do you want? This guy would have been, you know, in his career. How many times has he been like, oh, he's just going to be a mediocre rider?
Bro, for sure.
You know, just all the time, this guy. And he just keeps persisting and coming back, and good on him.
So if you look back on Zarco's career now, do you look back as the Yamaha rider, the KTM rider, the Ducati Primark rider, or the Castro Honda rider? Well, or a two-time Moto2 world champion?
As you know, our memories are very short in the motorsport.
Terrible.
We don't really remember...
You got his merch, the Tech Toi merch.
Yeah, for me, probably the Tech Toi is probably the most memorable, but we're going to remember him for Castro Honda.
We really are.
Factory Honda next year.
Imagine. I'm with you. Definitely with you. Our boy, special_ed11. Get around him. Motorsport Republica rider.
Yeah, racing this weekend.
Yeah, racing in the ASBK for the V8 supercars. So follow him at special_ed11. See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Max Stauffer needs a shout out for bringing it home in 12th at Suzuka, 9 days after surgery. That's our boy we were talking to at Avales.
Good on him.
Racing, yeah.
I mean, I would love to see what was going on, but as we touched on, darkness. So I could see.
Yeah, for only an hour.
But that's kudos awesome. To Max. He's a young kid as well. Good country boy.
Yeah, country boy.
Country boy. And, you know, you love seeing these guys travel overseas and have good results, because it's not easy, man.
Like, and we're speaking to him at Avales about Suzuka. He's done it before, and he says it's an insane track.
Yeah.
Wild track. So it's great to see. Really, really good to see. And it's good to see ASBK riders go over there and do it. Like, I know Josh Waters did it last year.
I remember we were talking to Max at Avales, as you said, and he was showing us he's got scars here, scars here. Like, just these guys are just beat up, you know?
They are. At Matt Stevens, how long till the McLaren boys are publicly toxic? It seems that there's tension already that's hidden.
Yeah, I think a couple of races after the summer break, it's going to turn. I mean, I don't think it's going to turn messy, because I don't think Piastri's like that. I think Lando could get like that, but I don't think Piastri is. He'll just play it cool. But yeah, it's going to be on track where it's going to be the most exciting, because these two guys, they're not going to... McLaren don't want them to be controversial outside the car. They don't.
Like, no one wants that in F1 now.
No. So they've got that image, you know. So Yeah,
we'll see. It's all about image. And I don't think they are. Like, I spoke about this last week. I don't think there is tension. Like, I don't think there's it's going to be toxic. I just don't think the teams or it's just allowed anymore.
Mm.
Like, this is the problem. Like, I would love them to have a beef and a war of words, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. I'll be pleasantly surprised if someone comes out and said something, unless someone does some crazy maneuver.
Which it might happen. Yeah. It might happen.
Then you might say something in the heat of the moment that you regret, where a PR manager can't help you anyway.
Mm.
Which, well, let's hope that kind of happens. At Sebo_100, this is a hot take. Alex Marquez will win at least 3 championships from what we have seen so far this year.
The problem with Alex Marquez is he's going to be either partner his brother somewhere, yeah, or on the same machinery as his brother, and he's not going to beat his brother.
Nah, it's clearly.
How many years has Mark Marquez got left?
Great question. I reckon Mark Marquez, if he really wanted to, he's still got 10.
10?
Yeah, still got 10.
10
if
years?
He wanted to, physically and mentally.
10? Remember,
bro, you got to remember, he's only like 32. Rossi raced to his 44. Or 40, in his mid-40s.
No, he wasn't that old. He wasn't that old.
Wasn't he?
No.
Early 40s.
Yeah, 41 or 42.
Okay, let's just say that. That's still 10
years.
But
he was 4 years too. He was around here 4 years too long.
Rossi. Yeah, but Marquez can still race till he's in his 40s.
Mm. I reckon he's got like 6 years left. I don't see him going any older than 38.
I don't see him... I don't see him going for 10 years. You're right. I reckon he's got probably 6 years left, but I think he's easily got the ability to race for another 10.
Yep. Okay.
Curdy?
Rossi retired at age 42.
42, there you go. Fuck, that's old though, isn't it? Thanks, Curdy.
The thing difference is Marquez has got busted shoulder. Rossi doesn't.
Yeah, but Rossi had a busted leg. Broke his leg. Probably his shoulder or arm.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. These guys, they get the best treatment. They make it work. And look at Mark now. He's just dominating. It's not stopping him at all.
How long can he go?
Yeah, I think the fitness for these guys, I think the fitness in the world of sports improved a lot.
Changed,
in the last 5, 10 years because of nutrition.
Definitely.
And everything like that. But in saying that, I mean, your head's still going to be there. Your head hasn't changed. I mean,
yeah.
you look at Hamilton. We touched on that. I mean, has he just lost that extra tenth or two, that extra little bit of, you know, perfect example is when he turned it on Max. Well, Max was up on the inside and he scared him out of it and ran wide. I mean, that's typical Hamilton these days, where back 2-3 years ago, he would have turned in and waited for the collision, you know?
Bro, Kevin Swantz said, you know, when he was racing around Suzuka and he was older and he just knew he didn't have it anymore, he was looking at barriers and where he could crash. And he's just thinking, I don't want to crash here. You know, I definitely don't want to crash there. But when you're a young Furman Eldegaer coming through, like, they didn't think about that.
No.
And that's just, I guess, where it changes. And it changes for everyone. Like, everyone goes over that hump.
Mm.
And you're probably right. Mark Marquez is, realistically, I'd see him around for the next 6 years. But he could easily go into his early 40s like Valentino did. I don't see any reason why he can't.
Mm.
I think he's just that good.
Yep. He is good.
But, you know, talking about fitness, remember that movie, Isle of Man, TT on the Edge? During that year, Ian Hutchinson won almost every race. And he was the only person there working out.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else is, you know, and it's, again, it's different because John McGuinness is still winning and he's, you know, drinking pints. But for that year, it was just interesting. He was the one working out, just working on his cardio, and he dominated that year.
Yeah, he was the only one.
It's a weird example because, obviously, you know, it's all about balls, that race. It is different, but don't come at me, everyone. Matty Stevens again, OG fan, one of the OG fans. But I had to do this one.
Why is it so funny? OG fan.
He is.
He's an OG fan.
He is. If you guys were the Cadillac team principal, who would you put in those seats?
Oh, jeepers. I mean, what are you, free drivers or like?
Realistically.
Realistically, I think Bottas is going to be a great...
Actually, let's do realistically and then whoever you want.
Nah, well, you know whoever I want. It's going to be like, you know, Verstappen and Leclerc or something. But anyway, for me, I think Bottas is a great... He's signed, I reckon.
Yep.
I've called it. I think a lot of people have called it. I think he's signed. And I think you have to get a US driver. I think that's going to be the thing.
Bro, US driver. We talk about token riders and drivers. Never works.
Yeah, I know.
Don't say this to me.
I know.
What US driver? Scott Speed.
He's long gone. He's long gone.
I know.
No, I think you got to bring someone over from IndyCar because I think that would be awesome to see.
Yeah. I know.
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
Sebastian Bidet.
Fuck all. Sebastian Bidet. His great grandfather, actually Japanese, had created the bidet.
You know what? Hindsight for me, I'm over hindsight. Like, I don't know. They'll make the right decision.
No, I don't like that answer, bro.
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Who do you reckon? This will be good. don't like that answer.
I would go a George Russell.
Yeah.
I'd go a George Russell. And I would go...
What have we achieved out of this? What do you think?
I would go him.
Matty Stevens, OG, I understand. Love you, but...
And I would go like a Bordoletto.
Oh. Go on, keep going. Move on.
Another very good fan, always putting in good hot takes, MDub93. MotoGP should have one race that is an endurance round each year, similar to Bathurst, or a motocross designation style, teams of best countries.
First one I like, not the second. I don't want them swapping teams and shit, it's too confusing. But in endurance... would be awesome.
Yeah.
But there's got to be...
Michelin front tire can only handle fucking six laps. Yeah, can't handle fucking 85. Fuck's sake.
There's got to be new tires, extended fuel tanks, like, you know.
And then Pecco, we fucked on a different fuel tank as well. You won't be able to handle that.
Any change you can't handle, bro. Any change.
Mark Hunt will still win. He'll be one fucking team.
Yeah. But it would be so interesting. It would be. Because it takes a lot of, like, it's fucking so tough and mentally so tough. And to see MotoGP, I'd love a 2-hour race with a pit stop, you know, or two pit stops or something.
Sick.
It'd be awesome to see. I mean, I think 2 hours might be, you know, a single rider, you don't have to join, but a single rider.
I'd kill them, bro. Fuck, 2 hours.
2 hours,
yeah.
Too much?
Fuck yeah.
How often do they swap in Suzuka?
Well, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, because I thought the stints were 2 hours, but.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
It's different riding a prototype MotoGP bike as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still traveling 2 hours. You're not doing a certain amount of laps. You're still doing 2 hours. Yeah, I get it.
You know, it is different.
But you have to control your effort, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just go full black at the start. You have to be like, I'm going to tire out here. And that's when big mistakes happen, though. Like, they're never going to go slow, are they?
Yeah, well, they're not bred for that. But it would be great to see the endurance. It would never, ever happen. But, you know, it would be great if they could just... like, if it would never happen on MotoGP bikes. But it would be awesome if they could just do them on, like, the Endurance World Championship, like, where some riders do it. But it would just be great to see that.
Yeah.
I just don't think it will happen.
Oh, I'd love to see a longer race with a pit stop or something. That's going to be awesome.
Look, never say never. We didn't expect 500,000, 488,000 people come through Albert Park and look what's happening now. So, or Cadillac and, you know, Aston Martin in Le Mans 24 Hour.
Mm. And the other thing is, Liberty Media coming in, they will look for these different style events. They brought sprint races to it. To F1. Got to remember, F1 sprint races were in before MotoGP sprint races. Mm. You know, they decided, oh, we're bringing to some sprint races. And then I couldn't believe it. MotoGP the next year, we'd got every race we have a sprint race. So we were like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. You know, it was 23. That was the first year.
And how successful was it?
So successful.
You can't imagine a Grand Prix.
It's perfectly balanced.
And it actually works a lot better than the Formula 1 ones. It really does. It is perfect.
The thing is... it does, because you got a 40 minutes of racing is not enough for the punter to come to a whole weekend. So to go, well, I'm going to come on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday and see two races plus Moto3, Moto2. Awesome.
Or I'm stuck at work on the Friday, but fuck it, I'm going down Saturday and Sunday and I still see two races.
Yep. And also, in saying that, the thing is the crowds have never been better.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And you know, we were harsh when that first came out. You could watch episode 9, whatever it was.
Yeah, we were probably like, yes, terrible, James. What do you think, James? Yes, Tom, I agree. Very terrible.
Didn't know what we're doing.
Gotta start somewhere.
But you're right. And we were, you know, I was harsh on it. I was like, oh, I like a traditional race. Like, I don't know why they're changing it. If it's not broken, why fix it? But they fixed it.
They
fixed the non-broken thing. So it was great. And on the designation type of thing, that is funny, but, you know, Spain will just fucking dominate that. There we go. Mitchell Munting, another OG fan, I reckon. Zarco has shown me he is the best Honda rider in the world right now. Give him the factory seat. Completely agree.
Agreed.
Pewy underscore 89, Bordoletto to replace Alonso if Mercedes get Verstappen. T-Shabs.
Verstappen's come out this weekend, said he's staying. Yeah, so that's it's a good hot take, but Bordoletto, I think, will be on a lot of people's lips for the coming couple of seasons, definitely.
Ferrari, you calling it?
Well, I think they are. They've got their eyes on Bierman.
Yeah, well, he's raced for him.
He has.
Wild card, whatever it is.
Saudi wild card. Saudi Arabia.
And Singapore.
And Singapore, yeah. Yep. Wild card.
Wild card. They fucking threw a relationship spark on Ferrari.
Carlos Sainz was injured.
Appendix.
Appendicitis.
How do I remember that? Seriously, actually unbelievable.
I wasn't Singapore. He only fielded once, I'm pretty sure.
I reckon he did Singapore, and he got any was a top 10 in qualifying.
No, you're thinking of Saudi Arabia. Similar track at
you
night.
Sure?
Yeah.
Curdy, can you look up Ollie Bearman's first race for Ferrari? First two races. I need to know this now.
That's right.
Well, I could be wrong, but
pre-advanced.
I swear it's Singapore.
That's pretty advanced for Curdy, so just let's carry on and we'll get back to it. Can't put too much pressure on him.
Jack.Watson underscore. Put Quartararo on that Aprilia and Mark will be sweating.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think...
We've spoken about this a lot, but I like it and I like how other people are thinking about it. Quartararo needs to not be on that Yamaha. I really think that Yamaha is just... It's done. Like, it's not going to get any more improvement. They're going to go to the V4 next year. But Quartararo has obviously had enough and he needs to be on something like an Aprilia. Like, Quartararo's on that Aprilia, he's fighting for world championships. Now, is he going to beat Marc Marquez? No. Curdy.
Oliver Bearman?
Bearman.
Official Ferrari reserve.
Yep.
He made his F1 race debut in Saudi Arabia 2024.
Fuck. I don't know why you're questioning my F1
knowledge. What did he do for the second race? I would have put $1 million it was Singapore. I really would have. Anyway.
There's only been one.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I stand corrected. Matt Ould. The fact you can only overtake at one corner is why F1 is so shit these days. Harsh. Also an OG fan.
Harsh. Yeah, I think it's always been like that Hungaroring, so... It's just you can't have all the same tracks everywhere in the world. You have to have different tracks, and just having one passing opportunity doesn't mean it's not going to be a good race. There's been a lot of good races over there over the years. So yes, it'd be nice to have a longer straight, that sort of thing. They've just made massive changes to that track as well with the new pit straight complex and all the new grandstand.
Looks good.
And everything looks really good, and apparently a really cool event to go to because if you stand on that hill, you can see the whole track.
That's sick.
So there's just different tracks. I mean, like, you know. You can say that about Sachsenring is a similar thing. There's not a lot of passing opportunity in Sachsenring. So maybe the second last corner in turn one, that's about it. But all through that section, you can't really pass. So, and that's another track. You can see sort of a lot of the track at that point. So it is what it is. Every track's different. You just got to live with it.
Nah, I'm with you. Alonso versus, Brendan Sarton. Alonso versus Hamilton, same car at this stage of their career. Who wins?
I think Alonso.
Big call, my friend. Big call. I don't know. I still probably go Hamilton. He's just fresher.
Yeah. I mean, he's only took up by a couple of years, I suppose. But
he still won a world title a few years ago, realistically.
Yeah.
But it's a hard one. Look, we had a million Rossi and Marquez questions as well, but we'll do that another time. It's always the most dominated question and it's always the same fucking question. So we love them and we will read them out sometimes, but, it's a lot of Rossi's a sore loser or Marquez this.
It's crazy.
I hope it keeps going.
Now guys, next week, it is the first weekend of the year we haven't had any F1 or MotoGP on.
Yep.
Can you believe that? So we are going to be recording our mid-season MotoGP episode, review show, and we're going to be posting that next Monday. So stay tuned for that. Anyone who's subscribed to Patreon, you'll have that probably uploaded tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, next couple of days.
Yep, next couple of days. So thanks, guys. Appreciate all the love and support. And we'll see you, next week, but it'll be the week after, won't it?
Yep.
So
thanks, mate. Thank you. Thanks, guys.